Yeah, I'm dying to hear. What is the story, Kathy? What's happened? King David Linksfield suddenly sort of
I've got this friend, Julian, right? Yes. And Julian has the most gorgeous girlfriend, and her son plays rugby for King David Victory Park. And Julian was telling me how he said, you cannot believe their coach. He said, this guy has revolutionized rugby. I'm like, Jewish boys don't play rugby. Stop playing with me. He's like, no, really. Really. We're actually going to go and fly, and we're going to go and watch them in Durban, and then we're going to fly and we're back. We're going to go and watch them here, whatever. And apparently this guy by the name of Kevin Musicanth, yes, has just completely revolutionized rugby at King David. So what did you do? How did you get rid of the flat feet and the asthma, Kev?
I think you're too kind.
Hello.
You're too
welcome.
Kind. So Julian and Farron. Their boy Jesse plays lock and flank for King David. That's
as long as he's not playing hooker, we're all right.
Well, there is a hooker in the team, in every rugby team.
Really?
Yep.
I knew it. Don't tell the Jewish mothers. No, seriously, how are you changing something that has, for so long, it has been a challenge for Jewish day schools? What's different about what you're doing?
I think the groundwork has always been there, significantly over the last couple of years. It's very brave leadership at the school, and sort of gave me the opportunity to be director of rugby at King David whilst being the high performance director of Israeli rugby. So it's really a nice coupling for me.
Israeli rugby?
Correct. So wow. I coach Israel. I coach the national team. So
I'm struggling with that just a little bit. Linksfield, and yeah, that's, how do you do that?
So the seasons are different. And obviously the coupling makes sense. You know, it's a Zionist school and Israel and King David. It really makes sense. And there's really nice, really good coaches, ambitious coaches at the school that have laid the platform. And me having a directorship and working with these gifted young coaches is sort of that missing ingredient. And, it's been a great season so far.
We recently did an outside broadcast at King David Victory Park. They've got an amazing sports coach who's also, I mean, all of a sudden they're playing in real leagues. They're not playing in the, excuse my language, the Schlenter League. They're actually playing in real leagues. And it's kind of just feeding them, and they're wanting to do more and achieve more in terms of sport. I think that's the soccer. It's not the, I don't think it's the rugby.
Well, interestingly enough, both King Davids are coached by guys that played for me at the Maccabi Games, both gold medal winners and, you know, young guys that are playing club rugby, first league club rugby in South Africa in the Joburg League. And, you know, they become mentors to the kids. Kids look up to them, go and watch them play, and they're examples. And at the end of the day, the kids want to play rugby after school, which I think is fantastic. And now there's the option of maybe representing our country, Israel.
Isn't that incredible?
So tell me, here's a weird question for you. To what extent does one apportion the effectiveness of a coach versus the ability of the kids? I mean, what difference can you make if you don't have the right raw materials?
Well, they say that when a team loses, it's the coach, and when a team wins, it's the players.
And your take on
that? Where do the mothers come into this?
Well, look, they're the most important factors of any rugby player. And I think that's true. The truth is that if teams didn't need coaches, then they wouldn't have them. And good coaches do make a difference, but at the end of the day, you do need the material. But your job as a coach is to get the best out of the player and get them to achieve more than they ever thought possible. And I think that's the privilege of being a coach.
What has rugby taught you personally?
Pretty much everything, you know, barring things that rugby can't teach you. It's my life. I've been doing it for a very, very long time. I was either playing when I was very young, and then from the age of 21 coaching, and I'm a bit older than that. So I've been coaching for a while, but You say, what has rugby taught me? It's taught me that there are things in life that you simply can't do without. And being involved in the game and being a coach is one of those things. So it's taught me to lose. It's taught me to win. It's taught me to keep going. It's taught me to get up. It's taught me to be humble. It's taught me to be confident. It's all of those things. It's such an amazing game.
What a blessing it is.
Is it more challenging in a King David environment where there's huge stress put on academic achievement and...
I think, yes and no. It's more challenging because it's so close to my heart. At the end of the day, in my rugby career, I was always the only Jewish guy. So I went to a school where I was the only Jewish
guy. What school did you go to?
Wynberg Boys.
Okay.
And at the time, there was a couple of us, but pretty much the only Jewish guy playing rugby. And then carried on and went on to coach False Bay and then coached UCT. And generally, I was part of the minority, which is something that you get used to. And now all of a sudden, I'm in a situation where I'm involved in King David, where everybody's Jewish, and involved coaching Israel, which is a huge privilege. So it's challenging because it's close to my heart, and it's something that I really want to make a success of.
Let's talk about Jewish parents for a minute. Because
I don't know. I wanted to find out from you, Kevin, if you've ever, did you ever think that you were going to do what you loved as a career?
I did, but it just wasn't happening. Yeah. You know, I was an entrepreneur and I started a business with gyms and continued coaching as a passion. And then all of a sudden did quite well at a club in Cape Town called False Bay. They actually last year were the national club champs. And then went on to coach Varsity Cup and was fortunate enough to be involved in winning the Varsity Cup. And then all of a sudden I was able to do it as a profession. So essentially turned professional in 2014. And as much as I can say to you, it was what I dreamt of. It just wasn't happening. And it took 17 years of doing it that if I could go back and do it all again, I would do it all again.
Yeah. Overnight success, like the Beatles.
Yeah. So
they had to do it for 28 years before anyone would listen to their music.
Correct.
It's true. Like Correct. It's all about timing.
I want to read you a SMS.
Can't we do that one at the end?
We can certainly do that at the end.
Can we?
We certainly.
Okay, so you had a question for
me. I've got a question about Jewish parents and living through their children and sort of fulfilling their unmet expectations of themselves. So those fathers who are standing at the side of
living vicariously.
Exactly, you know. Beat them, kill them, all that stuff to you. And apparently, you know, not in the King David system so much, but one hears stories of parents actually taking on other parents. Exactly. Do you have any of those kind of issues?
We haven't. Touch wood, we haven't had those issues. I have seen some of those issues before. I mean, obviously if you're involved in coaching rugby every week of your life for 20 years, you do see some weird and wonderful things. But I think at the end of the day, parents have such an emotional attachment to their kids playing sport, and in particular rugby. It is a sport that requires a lot of endeavor and a lot of effort, and parents are in for the ride and they feel that they're literally on the field with their kids. So it's to be expected. Mm. But I think in a good system and a professional system, parents are parents and coaches are coaches.
Kevin Musicamp, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here. You don't have to run away. You're welcome to stay with us for the rest of the show.